in and listen or have questions, they can come in, and we'll be starting up pretty soon.
I can remember, I come in, I watch TV, or watch cartoons, while I come home. All right, get my turn. All right, Dad.
Yeah, but the first thing.
Boy, sit there and watch TV with
them. Yeah, and see if we had to take the same way. Last one, last week, you know, along with it. This is the last great American cartoon at the time of Mania.
That cartoon was class. Absolutely cannot be.
I just want to say I really like your outfits there. You've done really well with it.
Yeah.
Where you had a lot of stuff going, you know, there was like little kids being running, going, zing, zing, zing. There's adults going, their ass off.
Yeah. That's very far in between now. You'll see that.
All right, we're going to get started. I'm Steve Anderson. I know I look like Twilight Sprocket right now. Thank you for the cards. They were playing Prance in the game room. This is all about mergers and acquisitions and why Disney thinks they own everything. We're going to find out in a little while. They may not own everything, but they own a lot.
Well, they might buy Sony.
We'll see what happens. Sony's got their own issues right now with them. So.
R.I.P. Spider-Man.
Rest in peace.
R.I.P.
Yeah, what next? It'll be I can't go on Wheel of Fortune now because one of my friends works at Disney. I don't know. But anyway, I want to look at a couple of just general areas of early animation and where things got crossed in the 50s and 60s when television came into play. Like, the first thing I'm going to look at is Popeye, the Sailor Man. He was done by the Fleischer Studios in the early 1930s. It was by a guy named E.C. Segar, kind of sounded like cigar. I don't know. Maybe that's why he smokes. I don't know. But basically, they had over 125 shorts with the Fleischer Studios, and then Paramount got involved with them in the early 1940s. They had loaned the Fleischer brothers an amount of money to continue to produce the shorts, their color symphonies that were meant to compete with Disney and Warner Brothers. And they weren't doing as well as they could have. They did have a unique thing called the Novel Tunes, and they had these little karaoke cartoons where you see the bouncing ball go across the screen with all the songs at the time. So in the early 1940s, they were going pretty well. And then you get to about 1957. Paramount decides, I think we're done with doing cartoons. We want to sell our licensing off. So a company called Associated Artists buys out those cartoons from Paramount. And like on the early, you know, you'd watch them on Saturday morning, you'd see the AAP credit come up before Popeye actually comes up on the screen because they had owned it for television. Then a little while later, United Artists buys out AAP for a certain amount of money. And then you go through Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer buying United Artists or the other way around, then Turner's buying out the library in 1986. You come to now, Warner Brothers owns the original Popeye cartoons. But there's one small wrinkle with that. Hanna-Barbera in the 1970s decided they were going to do a Popeye cartoon with King Features, who actually owned the comic itself. So they do their show on CBS, the Popeye Hour, for like 5 years on CBS in the late 70s, early 80s. And King Features actually owns the copyright to Popeye in that cartoon. Whereas there was a Dinky Dog cartoon that was made out of Australia for Hanna-Barbera. Warner owns that, so that's why you don't really see that show on TV anymore, because they're not going to get together to come up with a contract. It's not going to be Roger Rabbit all over again where everyone shows up in one happy little bit at the end of the movie. Where's Bugs and Mickey when you need them? But there was another thing with Associated Artists in the 1950s. They owned all the early Warner Brothers Looney Tunes and Merry Melodies from before 1948. So you'd see their credit come up, and then the big shield zooms in and starts the cartoon. So they're at it, and they have the cartoons. Once again, it goes through that whole cycle of United Artists, MGM, Turner. That's a good song. I like it. It's got a good beat to it. So they end up having a majority of the cartoons, but they don't have the rights to, well, Cartoon Network. When they started running them, they didn't have anything from 1948 to present, because Warner Brothers actually owned those cartoons, and Turner only had the pre-48s. And Nickelodeon was actually running a lot of the post-48s on their channel at the time, and the Bosco cartoons of the time. You only saw those from like 4 years. I vaguely remember them. It was this little inkblot boy that would walk around, and it was a precursor to Porky Pig and Bugs Bunny and all that. So it took Warner Brothers buying out Turner in the late 1990s to finally put all the Warner Brothers cartoons back in the same library. And as it was with, I think that's all I had on that. Warner Brothers had the Rankin Bass Library for a long time too. It was split. They had everything post 1974, and like the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Frosty the Snowman, like the classic Christmas ones, those are actually at Comcast now, because through Classic Media, which was a holding company for a number of years in the early 2000s, they were buying up a lot of the comics that did not have regular homes to them. So you had the old Rankin Bass, you had the Filmation Library got sucked up into that, and now that's all at DreamWorks, which NBC Universal just bought, so let's just say it's Comcastic. Filmation, for their credit, they were an independent studio for many years in the 60s and 70s. They did a remake of Tom and Jerry for a little while, for a couple of years, and that is over at MGM because, well, it's their comic. They weren't going to just give up the rights to it too easy. But Filmation in the early 80s came up with He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, which was a property for Mattel, and they wanted a toyetic cartoon, so they do that for a number of years. Westinghouse in 82 bought Filmation from the Teleprompter Company, and they ended up owning all those shows, and they were distributing Speed Racer at the time. Now, you would think, through all the acquisitions and stuff, He-Man and She-Ra and all the Filmations would have gone over to CBS, because CBS got sucked up into Westinghouse in 95. In 1989, the cosmetic firm L'Oreal bought Westinghouse's stake in Filmation. So that's where that's at for like 10 years, and then Classic Media bought that and so on to Comcast. The Ninja Turtles, they also started out at Westinghouse, the syndicated cartoon, before they went to CBS. So they handled distribution in the afternoons when you'd see it in the, you know, after school. Westinghouse ends up at CBS, but CBS actually doesn't own the original 1987 series. Through some twist, Fred Wolf, who was doing the animation for the Ninja Turtles, bought the rights to the show in mid to late 1990s, and they had Lionsgate through, I think it was FHE, was doing the home video releases. You might have remembered those cassettes you'd get with your Happy Meal at Burger King. One of mine's still in my grandmother's basement. But they ended up having the rights to the original 87 series, but Nickelodeon, through Viacom and CBS, would end up buying out the Ninja Turtle franchise from Mirage Studio, which was the comic book writers of the original Ninja Turtle comics. So Nickelodeon owns the Ninja Turtles property, but they don't own the series.
Didn't Cartoon Network have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
If they showed the movies, they may have, because New Line Cinema released the movies. in the early 1990s, and that gets all sucked up into Warner's.
I used to watch it on Cartoon Network on this mids thing called Magoozy or whatever.
The original was on Cartoon Network, really?
Well, a version of the Turtles was on there. Like in the late, early 2000s, I think.
There may have been...
I remember they had like no pupils and they said with a shell all the time. I remember that.
That may have been before Nickelodeon got the rights to everything, because it was kind of mixed up at the time. Like I said, the animation was very mixed up between CBS and Lionsgate at the time.
CBS is owned by Sony.
CBS is Viacom. But it's all National Amusements, actually, based down the street. I think it's in Norwood.
Yeah.
The only thing Sony and CBS have it going together for them is they co-distribute Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy.
Okay. Because CBS is Columbia Broadcasting Services, which is then Columbia Pictures, and Columbia Pictures became Sony.
Columbia Pictures and CBS were two separate companies. Although CBS Records, the recording studio, they made all the records and the music tapes and stuff at the time. Those got bought into Sony about 20 years ago. So Sony Music holds the rights to CBS Records, but CBS the network is separate from Sony. Let's see. What do I have here as well? And then the one that I thought was going to be interesting, you know, a couple of years ago, there was this whole idea that Walt Disney was going to buy Hasbro, and they're thinking, oh, we don't want Walt Disney to own Hasbro because Walt Disney would own My Little Pony and Transformers and all the properties from the 1980s. Well, it turns out they almost did. In 1980s, Marvel Productions was the animation studio behind Gem and G.I. Joe, Transformers, and all those cartoons, the Muppet Babies. In 1987, New World, which the only thing they had going for them was Santa Barbara, which was an afternoon soap opera, they decided to buy the Marvel Studio from Maggie Loesch and Joe Bacall, who were running the studio. So now they own it. You get up to about 1994, after they had produced Spider-Man and X-Men and many other things for Fox. Fox decides, okay, we'll take the studio. So now Fox owns the X-Men, the Spider-Man, all these cartoons that Hasbro didn't actually own the rights to. Fox had them. Now you get up to 2001, and Haim Saban had the Family Channel for a couple years, and they were going to end up buying the Fox Kids property and sell everything all together to Walt Disney. So in 2001, Disney ends up owning all those cartoons in the 80s. Yeah, they own the they almost own the Transformers and My Little Pony and all that. And now you get up to very recently, 20th Century Fox gets bought by Disney. So the cartoon library gets merged back into the film library. So the Muppet Babies gets put back with the Muppets, and the X-Men get back with the X-Men, and the Spider-Men get back. Oh, wait, sorry, Sony. The original Spider-Man are still at Disney. Sorry. Any other cartoons? You have any idea where they ended up and why we don't see them anymore?
Well, Thundercats, I know they relaunched them. I haven't seen new episodes. I don't know where they can wind up.
Thundercats was a Rankin Bass property, And they ended up at Warner Brothers in the early 1990s because they had bought out Telepictures, which had owned Rankin Bass in the late 70s.
Okay, so in other words, Thundercats, Silverhawks, the Galaxy Rangers, all that catalog.
That all ended up at Warner's.
Warner's.
And there was a thing on the latest Cartoon Network Thundercats series.
Yeah.
There was a special item that would be activated with the words Rankin Bass. Go figure.
Mm-hmm. What about some of the old classic 80s cartoons like Teen Wolf, what was it, the one with the car, Turbo Kid or something?
Turbo Teen?
Turbo Teen, yeah.
Turbo Teen, that's... We can find Turbo...
There were a lot of like weird ones that just last like a season or two in the 80s.
Turbo Teen also ended up at Warner Brothers. It was a Ruby Spear series. And like you say, it was a one season wonder, 13 episodes in 1984.
Oh, what about the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon?
Dungeons and Dragons, I think that also ended up, I think that was one of the Marvel properties that Disney didn't get.
Well, Hasbro.
Hasbro owns the game portion.
Well, that was Hasbro. Someone owns them, right?
Hasbro is Hasbro.
I thought they were bought out.
And then
there was an attempt.
The Hasbro the D&D movie, dare I say, existed, was Wizards of the Coast playing with Hasbro money. And that's what really killed a good chunk of Wizards of the Coast's free reign at Disney. At Hasbro and getting their power. You know, it's like, you wasted all your money throwing into that?
Dungeons and Dragons was the TSR company, which owns the rights to Dungeons and Dragons. They own the rights to the game, but Dungeons and Dragons ended up at Walt Disney.
Oh, really?
Yep, through New World and Fox and Disney.
Oh, wow.
It was a show that ran from 83 to 85. And New World was the distributor once it went into syndication.
Who owns New World?
Disney.
Because New World Entertainment was a lot of that was one of the first things that Marvel, they bought a lot of Marvel properties at the beginning when Marvel was going, Marvel Comics was in bankruptcy. Yeah, that's the reason why you have the bad business deals, the Sony deal.
Why Sony owns X-Men.
Why Sony owns Spider-Man. Fox owns the X-Men. It's like, for example, the Hulk movies. The reason why there's only one Incredible Hulk Marvel directed the Hulk movie is because Paramount owns the Hulk movie, owns the rights of the Hulk, and that's the reason why the fact that you ran into the thing of the TV show, the Incredible Hulk, and that's the reason why Marvel has, that's the reason why all of the Hulk's stuff that Marvel has dropped off out of existence, because we're gonna split the retail, we have to split the revenue with them? No.
Does Marvel own all the cartoons? Like there was Spider-Man, there was a Hulk. I think it was a Fantastic Four cartoon.
Those ended up at Disney.
Like all of them?
They ended up at Disney in 2001 under a separate deal.
Live action Fox owned. It wasn't until Fantastic Four was until Fox merger recently.
Haim Saban had a deal with Fox in 1997 to take over the Family Channel that they had recently purchased from Pat Robertson. So that's why they ended up getting into a lot of running their programming on the Fox Family Channel. And when you get towards 2000, 2001, Hamza Bund wanted to get out of running a cable network and go back to doing his own business deal. So he sold everything to what would be called BBS Entertainment, which was Walt Disney division, 2001. And that's why Disney XD, which was a channel, or might have been Jetix at the time, they ran all the old Power Rangers, the old Spider-Man from the early 70s and 80s, the Incredible Hulk, Fantastic Four, all that. Those were all Disney properties at the time. Getting back to your thought on the Spider-Man, originally in 1985, the Cannon Company, which was Electric Boogaloo, Hotel Hanoi or Hanoi Hilton, a lot of B-grade films that they hyped up like they were A-grade just to get them pushed, they had the rights to produce a Spider-Man movie. And obviously, Cannon went bankrupt soon after, and Columbia got the rights to produce the Spider-Man movies. So that's how Sony got a hold of doing Spider-Man.
When they bought Columbia.
When they bought Columbia in 1989. And I don't know who you are. You are not a fan right now. It's a Saturday. Shut up.
United Artists and Submariner.
This merger and acquisition brought to you by Bill Collectors.
Why did Japan make a Spider-Man thing? That always confused me. Like, there's like a Japanese version of Spider-Man.
Where he's out for revenge.
Yeah.
Japanese Spider-Man.
It's called Supata-Man or something like that.
Yeah, well, that was an interesting thing that
it had come out. And he had a giant robot named Leopard on
it. Yeah, the Japanese Spider-Man came out about in the 70s. And it was part of the full kaiju Sentai.
Well, it was the first one with the giant robot. And then the robot got stolen like halfway through production, so they had to just use stock footage from the early that they had filmed earlier, including for the finale.
Japanese Spider-Man.
Yep.
Spider-Man.
It is amazing.
That was franchised by Marvel.
Okay.
From Marvel.
From Marvel Comics, yeah.
So how many studios are out there like producing cartoons, like independent companies? You got like Disney, you got Warner Brothers doing their own thing. Does Nickelodeon do their own thing? Or
Nickelodeon has a lot of their. Oh, they have the Nicktoons. Hmm. So they have Rugrats and Doug and all that. Cartoon Network still does.
Ooh. Does anyone own Cartoon Network? Or they
Cartoon Network is Warner Brothers.
It's Warner Brothers?
Actually, AT&T now, because they bought Warner Brothers last year.
How many big studios are there, actually? It's like 40.
You're down to like five major film companies.
No one owns Disney. No one owns Sony. No one owns...
The major companies, you have Sony, you have Disney, you have Universal, Comcast, you have Sony, and Fox just got absorbed into Disney.
Yeah.
You have CBS Paramount, which is getting merged back together into one company again after being split up for a number of years. But they own Nickelodeon, Paramount Studios.
Also, Nickelodeon's owned by CBS.
Yeah,
they're
corporate cousins.
Yeah, okay. So there's only like half a dozen like real companies.
Viacom was actually spun off from CBS in the early 1970s. They weren't allowed to own their own, the television networks were not allowed to own their own distribution companies at the time. So they had to have separate companies to distribute network programming because it was felt there was too much of a monopoly on the television networks. The same way when television was becoming a thing, the movie studios were a little leery of going in because they're like, oh, the movie studios are controlling all the television shows now. But in the 1970s, 1980s, you had probably 40 or 50 different companies producing content in the country. And now, everything's back down to four or five major companies. Paul Terry, who did Heckle and Jekyll and the Mighty Mouse, those were originally released through 20th Century Fox in the 40s and early 50s. CBS bought the rights to the Terry Library in the 1960s, and they continued to distribute that library for television. That library got sent over to Viacom in 72 after they were split from that, and they had a wag the dog deal with Fox to continue to release, and they would get a cut of it. And then they decided, I think we've had enough, this isn't working for us. They continue to release Deputy Dog and things like that for television, but Fox no longer had a stake in it. But there's no clear picture as to whether Fox or CBS Viacom have the rights to the Terry Toons library now, because a lot of those older cartoons ended up in the public domain. You can go on Internet Archive and you can find probably 60 or 70 different Warner Brothers, like the Looney Tunes and Merry Melodies from the 1930s up till about 1943 that were lost to public domain. Like Daffy and the Dinosaur was probably, you get those 6 hours of cartoon classics on one videotape, and it was always those kind of really grainy prints that they had of the cartoons, and they had all the copyright notices blurred out because they weren't relevant anymore. You had Little Lulu and Baby Huey and Casper the Ghost that you'd get on those cassette tapes, and there was no real clear owner until the 1980s and 1990s. Woody Woodpecker, which is another one that had a lot of public domain, lost to the public domain. Lance sold all of his library to Universal in 1985. So that became that's now all part of Comcast. And there was another company, Saatchi & Saatchi Program Exchange, that released those cartoons for distribution 87, 88.
Who owns like Richie Rich, Casper, and all
the Harvey Toons, those ended up at Comcast. Through Classic Media, DreamWorks.
Yeah, Richie Rich dates only
if there were Richie Rich cartoons that were produced at Ruby Spears or Hanna-Barbera, they would be split between Comcast and Warner Brothers. Yeah. Because Hanna-Barbera, through Turner, etc., ended up at Warner Brothers. In the early 1990s, you had all the... that's really how Cartoon Network came to be, because Warner Brothers had Turner at the time, before Warner Brothers had Hanna-Barbera, they had the pre-48s, they had Tom and Jerry, they had, Grinch Who Stole Christmas, Pink Panther, Ant and the Aardvark, the Dot and the Line, all this library that they wanted to utilize as another network. They already had TBS, they had TNT, CNN, so they wanted to have a network devoted just to cartoons to compete with Nickelodeon and the Disney Channel. And right now, they are probably, I want to say, they are second in terms of the rating, in terms of the three major kids' networks. Nickelodeon has always been a solid first. Then you have Cartoon Network and Disney to a point. Disney has kind of gone more towards live-action programming versus doing all the characters they had licensed them, Winnie the Pooh and Mickey Mouse and the DuckTales, and those have always been at Disney, and I doubt we'll ever leave Disney unless by some strange thing they find out something. And
like, you'll never see the Looney Tunes leave the movie.
No. Even in the theme parks, Six Flags owns all the rights to use the Warner Brothers cartoons, so Six Flags parks have been sort of the de facto Warner Brothers theme park, as opposed to Walt Disney World and Universal Studios. But Universal has their own Rose to Hoe coming up because they have Simpsons World at Universal. Disney now owns the Simpsons. So how is it going to work that Disney allows Universal to have the rights to use the Disney characters, effectively the Disney characters?
Disney's screwing over Universal Studios. In fact, they had Marvel. They had their own Marvel World at Universal. Guess what? They bought that Marvel. They bought they're losing.
And Marvel was split at so many different studios in terms of the movie rights. Because you have Spider-Man at Sony, you have the X-Men at the time Fox, you have the Hulk at Universal, you have a lot of the other properties at Walt Disney, the Avengers, Captain America,
Fantastic Four.
Fantastic Four.
Are there any other properties that Marvel no longer has besides those?
Submariners is currently at United Artists. Because that's one of those things, again, was one of, why didn't Marvel release the Submariner predates Aquaman by 2 years? Why did Marvel beat him to the punch? You know, distinctly, just thunder. I know a good chunk of the characters got shopped around because, again, this is during the 80s, the late 80s, early 90s when Marvel Comics was bankrupt. They were like, here's money. Your stable.
Yeah, that was part of that was another thing of when the Marvel Studios were bought by New World in the 1987.
Yeah.
And then Fox gets a hold of Marvel. Part of the reason Fox got Marvel and New World is because the New World company was going to allow all their television stations, because they were also in television broadcasting, to become part of the Fox network.
It's actually the ironic thing, United Artists could screw over Marvel with one thing, is the fact that, for example, namely the most popular Marvel character, Wolverine. Wolverine first appeared in the Hulk. In other words, Paramount would say, no, you can't use Wolverine right now. It's off. Because they thought they were going to wind up being, where did they appear in?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter where they appeared in, it's who has the rights now.
Yeah, but that's really where they, a lot of the rights came out of, is their first appearance. In what book?
Does DC have any kind of split like that? Like,
DC is Warner Brothers.
Yeah, do they have any characters that they have no control over? Like,
no, DC is completely Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers had actually, Warner Communication had actually owned DC Comics from like the 1970s on.
Oh wow. Yeah.
So they always had Superman. They released, Warner's released Superman for DC in 1977, the big Christopher Reeve movie. And then there was, I think it was Superman, you go a couple more, Superman 4, that was produced at Canon, but Warner's had American distribution for it, where Canon had international. So that still becomes part of Warner Brothers. But pretty much... Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, not really anything to do with superheroes or whatever, but two things. First of all, ownership and promotion. The first Secret Life of Pets movie, there's a scene where you see a billboard that's got an advertisement for the Today Show, and then you see an Xfinity remote. Universal, Comcast, NBC. So I happen to notice that. And secondly, some of us have put up rare videos or whatever on YouTube, and we get the little copyright strike and everything. At one point, I put up a special called The Bear Who Slept Through Christmas, which was the Patty Freeling, around 72 or 73 or something. So I had it up there for a while, and then all of a sudden it got taken down because Lionsgate Entertainment owned it. And if you wanted to watch this 30-minute special, 25 without the commercials, you had to pay $2.99. So they were going to make money off it. I was putting it up there because I thought people might want this special that had Artie Johnson, Casey Case, and Barbara Feldon, all that. But they wanted to make some money. So you will see things. I actually put on Facebook Live today a little bit of the cartoons they were showing it, and it was SpongeBob. And at one point it said, certain countries you won't be able to watch this video, this is on Facebook, because of the music in it.
Viacom had already probably taken it.
Yeah. So you have all these things. So anyone who puts up videos and everything... And I mean, like, you know, we furries, and they will have a fursuit parade. Someone's got a radio going. they'll mute the sound or something because a song is playing. But that's all copyright, and that's all, that's who owns it. And like you mentioned, all these different studios, who owns
it? And Lionsgate does own that special now.
Yeah. I mean, the famous case was someone had their little kid singing a Prince song, and they had to take it down because Warner Brothers, whoever had the right to Prince's music, said, you can't do that. Someone's singing a Prince, a little boy singing a Prince song. Can't have that.
My mom actually ran into some issues with the Peanuts.
Yep.
Her church was showing a clip of the Charlie Brown Christmas where Linus is up on the stage reading the scripture of Matthew. And it comes back, DHX will not allow this to be shown. DHX, which also has done animation for My Little Pony,
right.
They own the Deke Library, they own a bunch of other lesser-known properties, Strawberry Shortcake, but they also now have a stake on the Peanuts.
Yeah, and Patty Freleng went to various different studios on different titles and everything. I think Marvel got part of it. And also, under license, they did the cartoon version of Planet of the Apes, which was a 20th Century Fox property and film, but they actually did it, and it says, you know, copyright 20th Century Fox, so even though they did the animation, they did not own the rights to, you know, all 20th Century Fox thing.
You also had that kind of a split with in the 1970s and 80s when Paramount was leasing all of their characters for Saturday morning.
Yeah.
You had Fonzie and the Happy Days gang, Laverne and Shirley and Fonz Hour.
And Patty Freleng did the Oddball Couple, which was based on the Odd Couple, and that actually was an arrangement.
So
through Paramount.
Exactly. So even though Filmation handled a lot of those, Hanna-Barbera handled a lot of those, because Paramount was allowing the characters to be on the show, they're technically now a CBS property.
Yeah, and you were talking about networks and everything. The Twin Peaks box set, at least the original series, the show was on ABC, but it was CBS Fox Video.
That's right.
So, I mean, it doesn't mean, you know.
Because Aaron Spelling, who was the owner of World Vision at the time, he got absorbed into CBS Viacom in 1996. But in the international market, Fox would have it because he had anything up till about 1989, he had a deal with Metro Media, which became Fox. So they would distribute Dynasty and The Love Boat internationally.
I think the last season of Twin Peaks, the one that was on Showtime, might also be on CBS Fox, but it aired actually on Showtime.
But yet, one of those interesting things, I love how Disney is such a thing. Disney ignores a lot of international copyright, for example, one of the great ones that, gee, The Lion King and Kimba the White Lion and the Mufasa.
Yeah.
Wasn't until the 19,
a lot of people are wondering about that.
Early aughts, when the Lion King play came out, they finally did purchase the rights to Mufatu, which is, if you don't know what Mufatu is the song In the Jungle.
The Lion Sleeps Tonight?
The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
The token, yeah.
Did anyone ever try to buy Disney when it was still smaller?
A lot of the Disney product in the 1930s and 1940s was released by RKO.
Right, yeah. RKO General. RKO Films.
I mean. Well, RKO became RKO General.
Yeah, but
and
RKO
then
Films, yeah.
They got, you don't really see a lot of them left. I can probably tell you who owns the rights to a lot of the RKO library.
Not Disney.
Disney made a lot of weird stuff like back in the day.
Yeah.
Their studio library is predominantly at Turner.
Yeah.
A lot of the 1940s, 1950s, anything that they released, not the Disney cartoons, those are all Disney, but anything that RKO released as films, like the horror films, those are all at Turner.
Was that kind of like a partnership, kind of like how Studio Ghibli and Disney kind of like have a partnership, but Disney doesn't own Ghibli?
No, it was a releasing arrangement. Early on, United Artists, the original United Artists, back when Douglas Fairbanks and Mary Pickford were heads of the studio. They released for Walt Disney. So you'd see a Walt Disney cartoon released by United Artists.
Yeah. They didn't release their own stuff. They had other people do it.
Yes, very early on. It wasn't until 1947, I would say, when I want to say it was Sleeping Beauty came out, that Buena Vista became the holding arm for Walt Disney, and they've used that as their overreaching distribution firm since. They'd have Buena Vista Television, which handled DuckTales, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, The Golden Girls, and that continued on. They absorbed everything that ABC was distributing for their formats up through, I want to say, 2012, and then Disney decided to make it, oh, we're just going to call it Disney Syndication, or Disney ABC Syndication, as it were.
There was never any like serious attempt to
buy. There was. There really hasn't been any attempts to buy Disney. Disney has tried to buy everyone else.
Have they tried to buy WB?
Because
it's always been like, you know, the Looney Tunes versus like the Disney cartoons. At least when I was growing up.
Disney.
No, Warner Brothers.
Bye.
Is there anything to stop Disney from just buying any company that puts itself for sale?
As it shows on, Disney can't buy them. AT&T and Comcast have way more money.
Really?
Media
companies. Was there an attempt for Disney to buy Comcast or vice versa? Or wasn't there something recently?
There was an attempt. No, there was a three-way deal. It was involving the Fox deal.
Yeah.
Warner Brothers was interested in Fox, and Disney was also interested in Fox as well. I think what ended up happening was the Sky Networks in. Oh, it was Comcast, Fox, and Walt Disney.
Yeah.
Comcast was going to try and get Fox. They had an offer to buy it. Disney upped the offer. But to reduce the antitrust regulation.
Yeah, because they have the Fox Network and NBC Network, yeah.
What they ended up doing was they spun off the network, the Fox Network, to its own holding company. So now it's Fox Broadcasting.
Yeah, there's the Fox, the Fox Broadcasting Network, and the cable channel is Fox News, Fox Sports. They are not owned by Disney. It is a total separate company.
Yeah. Well, Fox Broadcasting is Fox Broadcasting owns their station group,
right?
But they don't own the program.
Yeah.
So Fox can show. Fox has to call Disney to show a Fox program.
Right.
Or what was a Fox program?
Or what was a Fox program? All right. Right now, as of 2019.
Guys. I can't hear the.
Yeah. As of 2019, July 1st, according to Value.today, Microsoft is the biggest media company with 1.26 billion.
Microsoft.
I mean, 1.26 thousand billion. So that's over a trillion. Google is next, yeah. Then Facebook. Walt Disney is the fourth largest. With $251 billion in market cap. Below that is AT&T with $244 billion. They own Warner Brothers. Comcast comes after that at six, and they own NBC and Universal Studios, DreamWorks Animation. Then Netflix.
Wow. Nice.
Netflix has $160 billion market capacity. For not having a lot of their own programming. I mean, they're really going into their own programming, but they're still having to sublet a lot of their programming from other companies. Next year.
Do they have their own cartoon warehouse, or do they get those from other people?
No, but they do have a deal with Lionsgate for She-Ra.
Yes. And they've been buying a lot of foreign properties and doing their own productions of them.
But you're going to see a lot of interesting things in terms of Netflix in the next couple of years. because Walt Disney is launching their own streaming service, the Disney Plus, this November. And they're taking with them their entire library, everything that was owned, but, you know, they got from Fox, the Pixar library, the entire Simpsons catalog.
They own Hulu, or they just, like, team?
They have a stake in Hulu. I think they, Warner's, and Columbia, I think, have this. Well, Sony have the stakes in Hulu.
Or maybe they sold it.
Hulu is a joint venture of Disney and Comcast. Disney now has 67%. So I think what they're planning to do is they're planning a triple bundle, which is you get Disney. I know, I hate to be advertising, but this is it's public information. You've heard it on the news. They want to do, you get Hulu, Hulu, Disney Plus, and ESPN Plus as one package rate. And then there's another package on top of that where you get all your local channels, and it's basically a de facto cable service. And then all you need is the internet connection in order to use it. But the thing with Disney Plus is they own the entire Fox library. They've promised to show the entire Simpsons catalog. They haven't decided whether they're going to show any of the old X-Men, Spider-Man, the Marvel cartoons that they have that they own the rights to now through the 2001 and the most recent one. And they haven't said what they're going to do with MASH. They haven't said what they might do with Hill Street. Yeah, Disney owns MASH. Colonel Klinger is now a Walt Disney princess.
Well, MASH is 20th Century Fox.
I didn't know that.
That's right.
Hogan's Heroes was...
Hogan's Heroes is at Viacom, CBS.
Oh, okay.
That was a
that
big
one,
Crosby.
That was Bing Crosby. Okay, that's different than... Okay.
That was distributed by Viacom for a number of years, so that's all at CBS now. But they also actually own Mary Tyler Moore's company. So they also have Hill Street Blues, The New Heart Show, Mary Tyler Moore Show, Rhoda, Lou Grant. They own all of that as well. And that was part of the 1996 deal where Fox... Well, it was the Mary Tyler Moore's company had bought the Family Channel, and Fox bought them, and so on. And Disney, therefore, except for the ones that Steve Cannell took back, they also own the rights to some of the Stephen Cannell product that wasn't taken back by their original releasing companies.
Speaking of these big corporations, the big news recently was people didn't realize it at the time, the big fire at Universal Studios in 2008 that burned a lot of masters of great musical talents.
Yes.
You know? Beatles, Chuck Berry, all that stuff was there, and they kept it secret because they didn't want to get out that all these masters were gone, you know?
The Universal Elvis and Music Group had MCA.
Yep.
They were the recording giants who owned all those. I think they had A&M Records. They had
Chess Records, which is a lot of things like Chuck Berry.
Yep.
Yeah.
They had Arista Records, I want to say they had a deal with at one point.
So again, I mean, it was extremely embarrassing for them. Well, yeah, we had a fire like 10 years ago. This is only coming out just now. But I mean, that's the masters, you know. So I mean, there's cheap copies, well, not cheap copies, but there's copies around, but the masters are gone, they burned up.
There was another
They kept it secret.
There was another situation with that in the game show world a few years ago. There was a flood in New Jersey.
Yep.
And there was an old show in the 80s called Dream House. And it was very, very short-lived. It ran on NBC for like a year and a half. But those master tapes were flooded in the owner's daughter's house.
Yeah.
So we'll not be seeing them on Buzzer anytime soon.
Whatever happened to the Don Bluth animation company? Did they get bought out by somebody, or are they still...
Don Bluth, he started out at Disney. He was an animator for Disney for a number of years, along with Richard Rich and a number of animators in the 70s. They did The Fox and the Hound, Pete's Dragon, among others. There was a big to-do in the late 70s, and a lot of the animators decided to immediately leave Walt Disney. Don Bluth did Secret of Nim in 1982. That's at Warner Brothers through MGM. The 1987 Land Before Time and American Tail, those are Universal properties. So they're at Comcast. Because they were Amblin Film. Universal released them, so they were all at Comcast.
So it was just a multi company?
He didn't have his own distribution company at the time, so he had to use other companies to release the product. Rockadoodle and All Dogs Go to Heaven, those ended up, they're technically MGM because they were after 1986. So it would be whatever MGM is now as a company. They're not as big a player anymore as Disney and Warner Brothers and CBS, but they still have a lot of rights to older product. I think they own Pink Panther, the Rocky series, the James Bond franchise. So they own a number of properties, but a lot of their earlier product, anything before 1986, is all at Warner Brothers now.
No, I know Don Bluth's trying to make another film.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who's going to be taking over that property. It's the Dragon's Lair movie.
Dragon's Lair movie?
Yeah. So far, they're animating the pitch idea. I just don't know who exactly is going to pitch it.
Dragon's Lair, the movie. It's currently in slated for release in 2020. And
I wonder who picked it up, if it ever got picked up.
If it has gotten to that point, that's true. And they're not going to tell Seymour.
Almost.
So it looks like it's going to be...
Yeah. Well, I can see there's pictures from Secret Life of Pets and the promoting.
It looks like it's going to be... 20th Century Fox was to handle it domestically, Universal International. So that's going to be interesting to see if Walt Disney is going to pick up the distribution or hand that back off to Universal to handle globally. Well, Dragon's Lair was a game that he created in the 1980s.
I know that. I know that the Great Water Sucking Game of Dragon's Lair.
In the deal where Disney got Fox, was there a thing where they pledged to uphold Fox's contract, ongoing contractual obligations? Because that might cover this.
If they already agreed to release anything that was already firm go, they will do that. There's still a lot of properties that they were looking at. There's like 260 different films that are in development that Disney has gone in and said we are not going to release. We want to, because I guess at Fox there were a number of movies in the last couple of years that were failures, for the lack of a better word, and Disney wanted to have less collateral damage, and they wanted to focus on their money makers. Anything at Pixar, anything
Star Wars,
yes,
live action,
and after 2020, Disney will own the original Star Wars outright, because Lucasfilm had a deal with when they sold to Disney that Fox would own Star Trek IV until, I think it's 2020, and Paramount would own Indiana Jones for a period of time, and after those point, Walt Disney would then own the entire library on those.
Star Trek for Star Wars?
Star Trek is CBS Paramount.
You said Star Trek for.
I mean Star Wars. Star Wars. But
this is for New Hope.
Star Wars 4.
Yeah. New Hope.
A New Hope.
The good series.
The good series. I think we'll agree the first trio, you know, if you didn't have any other ones, you would have been perfectly okay. But being greedy movie media companies, enough is never okay. Any other thoughts we have?
No.
I think we're going to wrap this up. Thank you all for coming out.
All right.